Good to see everybody here tonight. My lesson tonight is going to be a study of two particular individuals and their interactions with each other, that being Saul and David. And we're going to be seeing what lessons we can learn for ourselves today from the relationship that existed between King Saul and future King David. And speaking about David in 1 Samuel 13:14, the scripture says, "The Lord had sought for himself a man after his own heart." After Saul sinned twice, God rejected him from being king over Israel. And so he sought for a new person to be king. And it is said about that person, he was a man after God's own heart. And so as we go into the lessons here this evening, I want you to remember that about David. How the scripture says about David, he was a man after God's own heart. After David slew Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." And then in verse 2, "Saul took him to that day and would not let him go to his father's house anymore." So we have here great victory. The giant Goliath has been defeated. David is now the man of the moment. And this is a time now when David and Jonathan come to know each other, and the king's son, Jonathan, and David become the absolute best of friends. It doesn't stop there, though. David has a meteoric rise. As it says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, 14 through 16, "But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them." And so he is put in a position of leadership, a position of leadership of the armies. And so people see David coming and going with the army leading them. And so now David is the man of the moment. All the people love David because they see David leading their armies and hearing about the great victories of the armies. And so now David has a strong position in the government of King Saul. And then in 1 Samuel 18:20. It says, "Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David." I'm going to the outline now and reading. 1 Samuel 18:28 through 29. "Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more afraid of David, so Saul became David's enemy continually." So let's first see the blessings that are in David's life. After David kills Goliath, as I said, he's the man of the moment. And he becomes known to Jonathan, and he and Jonathan form a friendship to where they are known historically, even to this day, as the best of friends. And because David is a great leader, he rises in importance in the army of Israel, and everybody loves David because they see him coming and going with the army, leading them to victory after victory. And then finally, the daughter of Saul falls in love with David, and David marries her. Now you stop right there. I would say that's a pretty great life, isn't it? You're best friends with the king's son. You're married to the king's daughter. You're a leader in Israel. Everything is going absolutely great and wonderful. But there's a problem. And the problem is Saul envies David. And Saul begins attacking David. And everything that is now a blessing in David's life, because of Saul's desire to destroy him, is taken from David by King Saul. Going over to 1 Samuel chapter 19, 11 through 12. "Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, 'If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed.' So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped." Doesn't stop there. 1 Samuel 20, verse 41. "As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from the place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times. And they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so." What are we talking about here? We're talking about the time now when Jonathan realizes Saul is wanting to kill David. And so he has the boy shoot the arrows to give the sign to David, and that is, "You need to flee, you need to run, because my father's trying to kill you." But they understand at this moment now, their friendship, which is the best friendship there can be no more. Because David is going to be running, You will never be allowed to enjoy the friendship of Jonathan anymore. So David has lost his wife. David has lost his best friend, Jonathan. David has lost his position in the government. In 1 Samuel 23:14, and David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. And so understand the situation here. David rises quickly in the government of Saul, best friends with the king's son, married to the king's daughter, leader of the armies of Israel. And now, because Saul wants to kill David because he envies him, David loses everything. He loses his position in the government. He loses his best friend. He loses his wife, and he's running for his life, hiding in caves, hiding in the wilderness. That is what sets up now the next scripture we're going to be talking about. And that is exactly how did these events affect David in his life. Psalm 69 is where I want to read with you from now. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. I want you to understand what is being described here. One word for it is this: depression. Saul cannot get his emotional footing. It's like standing in deep mire. You're standing in deep mud, and it doesn't matter how hard you try, you cannot get your footing. But the footing he's talking about is not physical footing and physical grounding. He's talking about emotional grounding. He cannot get his emotional grounding underneath him, and he's sinking in water, drowning. And he says in the last part of this, I am weary from my crying. Please realize this. When you study the Psalms, that David sank into a deep depression over the loss of his wife, his friend, and his position, and that he was now living in caves in the wilderness. He lost everything. In Psalm chapter 31, 9 through 10, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. What I learned from this text here, I'm going to read the rest of this, going back to the outline. My strength failed me because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. What I learned from this text, though, is important. I want you to emphasize again what we opened up with about David. He was a man after God's own heart. But here, David, after he had lost his wife, his best friend, his position in the government, he had lost everything, and he's running for his life, he sank into a deep depression. What I can learn from this, and this is important, is that depression is not sin. If you struggle with depression in your life at different times, please let this sink in. You're not sinning. It is a natural human expression over loss. When you lose something that's meaningful to you, someone that's important to you, you need to understand losing things can create depression and discouragement in someone's heart. I mean, you think about this. Someone who's struggling so hard, they cannot get their emotional footing. It's like standing in mud, and he's crying and crying and crying and crying all the time. Sometimes people who struggle with depression may have someone come up to them who does not experience depression and simply say to them, why, just stop doing it. As though it's a light that you can just turn on and turn off at will. You need to realize depression is a very difficult struggle and battle to get your emotional footing, to get out of it. To find your way to where you're no longer overwhelmed by it. David did not snap his fingers and all of a sudden he was okay the next day. So what we're going to be doing in the rest of the lesson, now that we understand where we are and how we got here in David's life, how did he handle the circumstance of his discouragement and depression? And the answer is David drew strength from God. In Psalms chapter 6, verses 2 through 7, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me, O save me for your mercy's sake." Do you see how many times he is talking about the Lord? O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord. David understood for him to be able to have any healing emotionally, to be able to deal with the troubles, that he's greatly troubled, he wants the Lord to deliver him. He's looking to God for help and strength. Going further in Psalms chapter 6 now, verses 2 through 7. "I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. I grow old because of all my enemies." I would say that's pretty intense grief, to where you're spending the entire night crying. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, well, I've never experienced that. Good. I hope you never do. You need to know, though, there are Christians that do experience this, and this is very common to them. They will spend a lot of their day crying, soaking their bed in tears. Psalms 18, verse 6. "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." This is one of the main things that we all need to learn. When we are hurting in our emotions, when we are discouraged, when we're down, when we're struggling with depression even, that is when we need to cry out to our God and go to our God for strength and help. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always with us. He will indeed strengthen us, helping us, even upholding us with his righteous right hand when we've got nothing left to give. This is the verse that I've been thinking about all week, and I can't wait to tell you about it. Psalm 61, verse 2. "From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." A rock is where there is stability. And again, understanding David in his life is realizing he doesn't have emotional stability. And he needs a rock. And so he's looking for strength, and he understands the only place he can go for strength that he can count on is by going to God, and that God is going to be his rock. When I read this verse sometimes, I want you to realize I do not think of it. Did anybody ever play King on the Hill? You know, where there's a mountain up there and you stand up on the top of the rock, I'm King of the Hill. I do not imagine that in this text. Because the person here, if you go back and read it, he says he is overwhelmed. When you're overwhelmed, you don't have, you say, how can I handle this? It's too much on me. Too much pressing down on my heart, too much in my life. I don't imagine him jumping up on the rock and standing up on it. To the contrary, in my own mind, I imagine him scraping and clawing with every ounce of strength just to pull himself up onto the rock and then just laying there on it. You need stability when there's instability in your heart, your mind, and your emotions. Where true stability is in our world, it's not in me. Do not think, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Sorry, that doesn't happen. That's not real. Where you get real strength from is your relationship with God and going to him. And if necessary, claw your way up onto the rock and just lay there. till you're able to breathe, till you're able to move, till you're able to function. But the idea of jumping up and all of a sudden, Superman, I'm ready to go, that's not the way I imagine the text. You're just trying to find some stability somewhere. Well, that stability that you're seeking is God. Go to Him in prayer. Find the scripture that speaks to you where you are at the moment, in the trouble, in the trial in your life. Find the word of God that speaks to you. You speak to God. You draw near to God. And in that relationship of you drawing near to God and Him drawing near to you, you will find yourself drawing strength, finding your way to the rock, finding your way to God through His word and praying to Him. David prayed to God, and he says here in the verse at the top how God heard his voice. God will hear your voice. You're not alone in your trial. You're not alone in your pain. He cares. He loves you. He is here in your life. Go to Him and continue to go to Him. Psalm 25 now, verse 17. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. And then when you go to Psalms 104, verse 11, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. So here again, twice David is talking about, I'm in trouble. I'm just curious, and you ain't got to answer this, but be honest. Have you ever just in your prayer life gone, help? And that's it. That's the prayer. Help. Please help. Cry out to God for help. He hears. He will help. What's my favorite verse? Isaiah 41:10. I should put it on every sermon outline. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There's a reason it's my favorite verse, because it speaks to me of where I am in my life. You're going to feel overwhelmed sometimes. There's going to be things pressing down on you. You're going to experience discouragement. You may even be experiencing depression, and you need help. Okay, it doesn't mean you're a terrible Christian, because you need help, because you're discouraged, because you're even struggling with depression. It does not at all mean that you're not a good Christian. It just simply means you need God. And you need Him in your life a whole lot. And so you seek Him out, you find Him, you get close to Him, you draw near to Him, and cry out for help in time of trouble. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. All right, let's sit down and chew on this one a while. We've already shown you the discouragement. We've already shown you how He's looking for the rock that's higher than Him. He's looking for stability, some place where He can have strength and stability. But notice what He says here. The Lord is my strength. What strength you're going to have is going to be the strength you draw from God. Learn to plug into God. Learn to draw strength from God. If you do not know how, I will tell you, go to the Word. There are scriptures in the Word that fit exactly what you need. Find them, read them, meditate on them, dwell on them. Let them sink into your heart and mind. And then carry all your care to God in prayer, casting all your burdens before Him. Everything, every problem, every trial, every trouble, everything that in any way is a worry to you or burdensome to you, take it to God in prayer. That is drawing near to God. And God will become your strength and your shield. Look again, the middle verse here. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. At the very heart and the very core of our relationship with God is us trusting Him. we have to know with no doubt, God is with me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. We have to know this and believe this. We have to know that he will actually help you. You're not alone. You're not alone. The creator of the universe hears your prayers. He loves you more than anyone. He will help you. He will strengthen you. And if you understand the last part of Isaiah 41:10, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That is the idea that when you've got nothing left to give, he'll hold you up. You're not alone. Trust the Lord that he will help you. And getting back to the verse, my heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. The ability to have any joy in our life and rejoice is directly connected to our relationship with God. And learning to draw strength from God in that relationship, learning to trust God in that relationship, learning to use God's word in that relationship, and have a fervent prayer life in that relationship. And so when you go to Psalms 35, or 30 verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I have found that people who struggle with depression really appreciate the Psalms. I've given you some verses here right now. Again, if that describes you and your life and your battles and your struggles, use these verses. Take this outline. Pin it to the wall if you need to. And when you find yourself seeking, go and read these verses. And again, meditate on them and let it sink into your heart and your mind. Because this verse shows you where a man after God's own heart was in his discouragement and depression and how he was trying to use his relationship with God to pull himself out of it, and he succeeded. He succeeded in pulling himself out of the quagmire of discouragement and depression through his relationship with God, to the point in the end he says, my heart greatly rejoices. But there's another thing we learn from this amazing experience in David's life. David did not allow the evil done to him by King Saul to overcome him. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 3 through 7, David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. The Lord's anointed to stretch out my hand against him, and seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And just stop right here. Saul has taken everything from David. David is running for his life because Saul is trying to kill him. And now David is in a cave with all of his men, and there's Saul coming into the cave right there in front of him. If David wants to, he can kill him. His soldiers are going, yeah, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. David goes and cuts off the corner of his robe and then feels guilty about that. Wow. You think about that. He feels guilty about cutting off the corner of the robe of a man who's been trying to kill him. That is an amazing thing in his character. Someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. This is David speaking to Saul, because when they were in that cave, somebody was trying to encourage him to kill King Saul. And David did not. David did not sin against Saul or do evil against Saul in any way. And the lesson is important for us to learn. David was not overwhelmed and overcome by the evil done against him by Saul. And I'm going to tell you this, brethren. In multitudes of Christians' lives, they have evil done against them, sometimes by their family members. This was his father-in-law, folks, that was doing this to him. Family that was trying to kill him. Unfortunately, sometimes in some brethren's life, it's their own family that are hurting them. You may have been sinned against greatly by those that you were hoping and desiring for them to love you. And yet they were the ones that chose to sin against you. Do not become overcome by evil, but you overcome evil with good. That's the lesson I'm wanting you to see here. David did not allow the evil done against him to overwhelm him and overcome him to where he in turn was driven by bitterness or anger or wrath to do harm to King Saul. 2 Samuel chapter 1, 11 through 12. Therefore David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and so did all the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son. News reaches David that Jonathan and Saul have been killed in battle. Now I want you to notice this. David doesn't go, woohoo, he's dead. No. He tears his clothes and he grieves. He's grieving over the man that was trying to kill him. And it doesn't stop there. Proverbs 24:17, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. You see, this is what we see in David. His enemy had died, and he did not rejoice. You understand what malice is? Malice is when you want bad things to happen to people. You have so much dislike for them, you want bad things to happen to them. And you take pleasure and joy in hearing that something bad has happened to them. We need to be careful that we do not become overcome by evil to where we find ourselves overwhelmed with anger because someone has hurt us, or overwhelmed with wrath and bitterness because someone has hurt us, or overwhelmed with hatred and malice because someone else has hurt us. I'm not going to act like it's an easy thing to do. But as best as you can, love your enemy and do good to those who do evil to you and learn to pass over the transgression, understanding this, that passing over the transgression is for your benefit and loving your enemy is for your benefit to where their evil that's done against you is not overwhelming you and overcoming you. 2 Samuel 1, 23 through 24. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives. And then in verse 24, O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul. I'm sorry. When I read that, all I can do is go, wow. This is what David had to say about Saul after he was dead, that he was beloved and pleasant in his life. The man that chased him for years and tried to kill him. The man that took everything from him. What I see from this is that David loved his enemy. He indeed was a man after God's own heart, who could say from a cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do not allow the evil that's done against you to overwhelm you. I would like to tell you this, that nobody's ever going to do anything mean or hurtful or evil or sinful against you. That's not true. That's not real. To the contrary, there are going to be people that are going to say and do mean things, hurtful things, even sinful things against you. Do not allow the evil that's done against you in your life to overwhelm you and overcome you, and poison and ruin your life to where you're filled with bitterness and malice and hatred because of what they have done to you. David could have done that, and a lot of people would have understood it completely. But David didn't allow the evil done against him to overwhelm him and ruin and steal his joy. To the contrary, he loved his enemy exactly the way the Lord teaches us in Matthew. To love our enemy, to do good to them, and not allow the evil done against you to cause you in turn to do evil. There's some great lessons we learn from David and Saul. The two main lessons I want you to get tonight is when David lost everything, he sank into a deep depression. What I learned from that right there is a man after God's own heart struggled with depression. So depression is not sinful. Let that sink in if you're someone that struggles with it. And the way David dealt with his depression was he went to God in prayer, crying out to God in prayer over and over again, and turned to God to try to find the rock that was higher than David, the rock that was higher than him, and then finding that stability, he could get on the rock, and from the rock he can draw strength, and he can have stability finally, and be able to function again. David pulled himself up not by his own bootstraps, but he pulled himself up by drawing near to God and drawing strength from God to where God pulled him up. And then finally, the second lesson is don't allow evil done against you to overwhelm you and overcome you. The way it's put in the Roman letter, do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what David actually did. When he had opportunity to hurt Saul, he did not. Time and time again, at least twice, he had opportunity to harm him, he did nothing. And then when he finally heard that Saul was dead, rather than rejoice, he wept. And even went as far as writing a song praising King Saul. That is absolutely amazing when you stand back and understand it. But it's important lessons for us to learn, because that's what happens in our life. In our life, we struggle with emotional discouragement and depression. In our life, we find ourselves being sinned against. And so to learn how to deal with both of them, we need to look to the example of King David and learn from his example in his relationship with God and his ability to even love his enemy. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here tonight who's not a member of the one body, if you actually believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to openly confess that faith and motivated by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance, that is to follow the word of God and the will of God by faith in your life, putting off the old man and putting on the new man, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ if you're willing to make that commitment of repentance. If you're a child of God already and there's sin between yourself and your God that you need to deal with, our God is gracious. He is merciful. He is willing to forgive. Take the sin to your God, confess it to him, and turn from it. We as your spiritual family, we will pray for you. We will pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to be there for you afterwards to encourage you and strengthen you and help you deal with your spiritual struggles. If you are indeed subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which Jason has selected.